Brad Lammensdorf, Chief Executive Officer at Active Alts, manager of the Ranger Equity Bear ETF, is here. It's time to talk stocks and a little bit of contrarian investing now in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, where we talk with experienced money managers about how they're doing their job, what they see that informs their buys and sells, what they're seeing happening broadly on the market, and how they're putting it all together. And my guest should be familiar to you because he was just here on Friday. Now, he was here in a different segment, and we don't do this often where we bring somebody in to two segments this quickly, unless maybe they've got a new book out. We're doing it here because I have to say, with me having been traveling over the weekend, Brad stepped in and was willing to do it. And also, you guys really enjoy when he's on because he brings a different perspective. Why a different perspective? Well, he runs a bear fund, the Ranger Equity Bear ETF, that's ticker HDGE, but he also runs Active Alts, which is a money management business that focuses on what could be called actively managed liquid alternatives. So it's long-short strategies, a focus momentum strategy, and they're looking at a lot of different things. Conventional stocks, yes, but everything else too. And then he runs the Lammensdorf Market Timing Report. That's where the technicals come in that give you everything we were just talking about with him on Friday. Put it all together, there's a couple of places for you to go. ActiveAlts.com, LMTR.com, or AdvisorsShares.com/fund/HDGE. All of that will get you more information on the many things that Brad Lammensdorf is doing. Brad, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brad joins me via the GameBridge hotline with a simple built-in calculator. The GameBridge platform illustrates what your investment amount will return long before you make a commitment. Gain access, gain control, GameBridge. Now, Brad, we always start with methodology, but in your case, well, you have a couple of methodologies because while folks might think of you running a bear fund and think that means you're always bearish, you also run a long short fund. So you're doing long short stuff, which means that you're looking at all sides of it. But explain what you're looking for that makes you go, here's my longs and here's my shorts.
Sure. Well, I'm a relative strength player, so I'm usually looking for companies that have lower relative strength, companies with fundamentals that are decelerating. And on the long side, we're looking for just the opposite, companies that are emerging, that are reaccelerating within their business in some capacity and showing a solid amount of relative strength. So there's, you know, just the opposite from one to the other.
And what does that do in terms of typical holding periods, things along those lines? I mean, I know you're not afraid to hold something short term, but that's not what you're looking to do. You're looking to catch the trends at the right time and hold them a little longer.
Yeah, as long as the company is within trend and we see a good runway for future expectation, we'll stick with it. We've been in Palo Alto Networks for quite some time, so we've been there. We've been in VW. We've been in that for quite some time. But some of these companies, you know, they went through a period of several years of consolidation, and now they're reemerging. And so that's usually what we're trying to find is a company that's been in a 3 to 5 year base that's emerging out of their range that they've been trading in.
This has been a market that has moved a lot based on emotion, based on world events and all of the rest. How does that factor in, or do you try to factor as much of that out as possible?
Well, we're not macro players, but we do really pay attention to sentiment. So last year, it was actually very difficult because the indexes kept running up, but we saw a lot of risk in the marketplace. So we were pretty hedged. You know, we probably didn't have the kind of year that the indexes had, which was up, you know, 20%. However, you get a year like this year and everything isn't going, you know, rates are going up, fixed income products are depreciating. You've got stock market depreciating. But what that does is it gives us ability to start reducing our shorts and start coming into the companies that we missed on the last bull market and starting to buy those. For instance, Qualcomm was a name that I was very bullish on that I had sold probably too early last year. And it's come back way down below where I had sold it. So I was glad to be able to purchase that back. So as I make these purchases in the companies that, you know, we like, our net long exposure will continue to climb. And the more bearish people get, the longer the program will get. And if we go up too high, the program will probably start getting defensive again, just because of the nature of the investor crowd will get too bullish, and our program will, you know, start getting more defensive because people are getting more positive. So we like to invest when everybody's the most negative.
Well, I'm curious on a stock like Qualcomm, which, by the way, I have to disclose, is in my portfolio. So, you know, you talk about making that round trip. You had ridden it up. You liked it. You got out of it. You came back to it. How often and how common is that? And not obviously with that specific stock, but I mean, how often is that with stocks in general where, you know, for you, it's finding the right company and then finding it under the right conditions and, you know, taking your profits when you think the conditions are getting frothy and getting back in? How common are those kind of round trips, and how common are they in relatively short order?
Well, it really depends on the volatility of the market. Really kind of hands you opportunity. Qualcomm underestimated how far up it would go, sold it in the 160-something area, 170. It ran up to the 190 area. I was having seller's remorse and was just hating myself. And so when I saw it down at, you know, below 160, I decided to get my position back on. So it happens from time to time. The luxury with, you know, I do this for all day long, so I know several hundred companies. So I'm always looking for not only the company that I like, but to make sure that when I'm buying it, the entry point technically is also pretty good.
And where, if at all, does valuation wind up fitting in? I mean, do technicals outweigh valuations, or do valuations outweigh technicals?
So that's funny that you say that. So I think to a point, you know, technicals are only as good, you know, everything can go to a, it can go to zero. A stock can go to zero. So with that being said, what the stocks that are the most vulnerable to break down and go down the farthest, in our opinion, after shorting stocks for 20 years, are the type of companies that have very high price to sales. So because when they miss, they're growing 100% a year. Everything's going great. They're only doing $1 billion in sales, and the market's putting them up at $100 billion in sales. So really, it's very difficult to keep that type of multiple. We actually try to look and short companies that we don't like that have high price to sales, just because there's so much downside in them. And so when you're those kind of companies, when you're looking even at them technically, you may get stopped out of something like that more often, just because there's gravity at work pulling the stock down to a five price to sales of five. Now five is still high, but it's at least reasonable. So when you get some of these companies that are unreasonably priced, it probably does drive some of the factors. But then once it kind of declines and gets into a range, you know, then you're probably in a much better, safer position to trade it technically.
Well, we've talked about a couple of names, but is there another poster child, maybe on each, the long and the short side, that stand out to you?
On the short side, we've really been looking a lot at consumer finance. One Main Financial on the short side really sticks out to us. I mentioned Citigroup, I think. Citigroup looks very, very poor technically. There's others. I think those are probably the most vulnerable that we had been looking at. Consumer finance seems to me to be in a very poor position right now with, you know, rising rates, higher energy prices, you know, higher cost of just food in general. It's a pretty quick whammy on those type of companies. And if, you know, they're highly levered. You know, we're short some of those in the ETF. UNFI is another company that we're short. You know, we don't like their negative free cash flow metrics. But there's a bunch on the long side as well. We had talked about Qualcomm. You know, there's a bunch of other names in the marketplace.
So give us one more of those.
For instance, and I hate to bring this up because it just shows up on our research, which is like Apple. So Apple has handled this correction extremely well. They've got tremendous amount of cash. They've got a tremendous amount of 5G exposure. They're growing their all their service businesses very well. But the price action of the stock is really what has caught my eye and how well it's been able to handle the correction. So usually a relative strength player is looking for those type of companies that have weathered the storm and is ready for another leg up versus a company that has gotten its brains beaten out and probably will need several years to consolidate at lower levels before it's ready to really come back up and around.
Now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
If everyone thinks one thing, then I say bet the other way.
Well, that is not completely the methodology for Brad Lambinsdorf, but you bet that is a big part of what he is doing, both with the Ranger Equity Bear ETF, ticker HDGE, and with all the things he's running at Active Alts, which is actively managed liquid alternatives and a long-short strategy, focused momentum strategy. You can learn more about it at activealts.com. You know how quick and dirty works, so we're going to jump in. We're going to start with a couple of requests that are in the travel industry. Mike in Redwood City, California, wants to know about Expedia Group. That's EXPE.
We really like Expedia. Great management team. We feel like their numbers are going to do extremely well.
Travel in general, a good business, or this one particularly good?
Well, I think that the entire area is going to be opening up. The opening play is going to be great. These guys are definitely in the lead, one of the leaders.
So it's a soft landing for Expedia Group, ticker EXPE. Very different kind of travel company. Richard in Chula Vista, California wants to know about Uber Technologies. That's Uber.
So Uber's gotten thrown into they've gotten thrown out with the baby with the bathwater in this recent growth correction. They're operating extremely well. The CEO is doing extremely good job, and it should also participate extremely well on the opening plays, and we like it a lot.
You can't actually drive my car. That's a different app. But you can ride in the back of my car, or you could if I was an Uber driver. Uber Technologies, ticker UBER, that is a buy. Now, showing that Richard is nothing if not diverse in his interests, he also wanted to know about Newmont Corp. Given these inflationary conditions and all the rest, how do you feel about NEM and moving towards gold?
So Newmont's done an awesome job at really getting focused on the projects that really create the free cash flow. And they've got massive stock buybacks in place. They're doing a great job as a corporation. And I really think that the gold market is sitting in a very powerful 10-year base that could, you know, explode from that base and go a lot higher. So I think you got a lot going for you there with Newmont.
And you are confident in gold, even though gold has not really been acting all that well as an inflation hedge.
I think that gold is so gold topped out in 2012. It went through a bear market. And then in the last 2 or 3 years, it's really been flirting with 1700 to 2000 range. I really think it's putting in what's called a cup and handle formation, like a 10-year cup and handle. And I think that bodes it's a very powerful formation, and it's a formation that shows there's a lot of accumulation in the marketplace. And I just think that it's time for gold. It's just kind of its time. There's a lot of energy prices are higher. There's some correlation there too. But opening up with inside of the world, you know, there's a lot of gold festivals in India and Asia that occur that haven't been occurring the last 2 years. So there's probably a lot of pent-up demand. Capacity of mines has also been cut substantially because there hasn't been a lot of exploration for gold.
And so that all combines to make Newmont Corp, NEM, a buy.
I love gold!
Jeff in San Jose, California wants to know about One Main Holdings. That's OMF.
We don't like this company. We're short this company. I would sell this company if you owned it. They're over 500% levered. They're in the consumer finance area that I spoke about with a sector that I didn't like. And these guys are probably one of the worst position coming into the downturn for the sector. So not real up on this company.
You're going to lose everything you have, and you're not going to have anybody give it back to you because it's a stupid move on your part.
Yeah, it would be apparently a stupid move to stick around in OMF, One Main Holdings. Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania wants to know about United Natural Foods, UNFI.
So UNFI, we just do not think it generates the free cash flow that it's needed to support the enterprise value of the entire company's value. And we're short the stock. We don't really think a whole lot of this company.
Well, easy to understand, hard to digest. Apparently that's United Natural Foods, UNFI. That was a sell. And we'll do one more. This for Tom in San Francisco. It's PLBY Group. That is Playboy, the parent company of Playboy. PLBY is the ticker.
So I saw them come out through a spec, and it had gone crazy, and I didn't really mess with it because the speculation was so high in the stock. But it's come back down to earth quite a bit, and I actually get a insider stock purchasing buy and sell report in the marketplace. And it ended up that a lot of the executives recently were buying that stock. So that's real interesting to me, to whoever pointed that stock out.
So is it enough that it's a buy to you, or is it a watch?
Yeah, I think that when executives are, I think it's a very well-run enterprise. I think that the stock price was ridiculous last year. It seems, you don't know really where some of these things bottom and what the exact value is, but you can bet that the management teams that run these companies know their own businesses pretty well. So when you see them coming in and buying their own stock, it's usually a pretty good sign.
So we finish on a high note. That was a buy on Playboy Group, PLBY. And we have one more goodbye to talk about. It's the one where we say our goodbyes to Brad Lammensdorf. But Brad, I totally appreciate you joining us twice in a couple of days. Great stuff. We'll talk to you again down the line. Thanks so much.
Happy to be here.
Brad Lammensdorf, and if you want to find out what he's doing when he's not here, well, he's strategist for the Lammensdorf Market Timing Report, LMTR.com. He's chief executive at Active Alts. That's ActiveAlts.com. And he runs HDGE, the Ranger Equity Bear ETF. And we'll be back to tell you where you agreed or disagreed with other guests and set you up for the rest of the week, including a banner show tomorrow. Stick around.